I have a very beautiful quote here from Nisargadatta Maharaj. What you seek is so near you that there is no place for there to be a way. So there is no way between what we're seeking and what is. So there's nothing, there's no separation. We want to know something, but what we are is not what we know. So if what we know is separate to what is, and there's a self in there that's knowing, then that's not it. But if the sense of a self, of somebody that knows something that knows that, then there's duality. But if there's only the knowing itself, just the knowing, then the duality disappears. There's no objective world. There's actually no subjective world and no objective world. There's only pure presence. There's only the present, and the object will disappear. The sense of separation disappears. Isn't that love? When there's no sense of separation, there's just, you could say it's a feeling, but it may not even be a feeling. There may be no consciousness of something. There's only consciousness knowing itself. So you can't divide that. And then when awareness is just aware, well, you ask, what is it aware of? But actually, that question doesn't apply because there's just pure awareness. And that's a state that we fall into. We can fall into that. If we fall into that, then there's no more object that you're looking at saying, I like it, I don't like it, I want it, go away. It's so good, it's not great. There's no more thinking anymore. There's no more evaluation. There's just pure knowing, or it's, you could call it pure love. Everything is in it. It's not, I love you, but I don't love you. That doesn't arise. We don't differentiate. There's just pure love. Like the sun, it doesn't say, well, I'm just going to shine on Canada, but not on any other country. The sun doesn't do that. The sun just shines. So when the heart is just glowing, shining with love, then it goes everywhere. It doesn't go to this object, but not that one. So you might go for a walk on the railroad tracks and you see a bunch of garbage. But when you're in a state like that, it's not garbage. It's just seeing. Whatever you see, there's that love. It's an absorption into the present moment. But it isn't even an absorption, because that would imply that someone or some awareness gets absorbed into something. When there's no division, there's a fire. It just burns. There's no wood that it burns. There's just light. So when the eyes are open, but we're not somebody that sees, and there's no object seen. Have you ever gone for a walk and listened to the sound of some beautiful bird, and you stop and just listen? This time when this can happen, you're just listening, and you forget the body, you forget that you're standing on a sidewalk and people are walking here and there, and you're just standing, and you're just pure listening, and it overtakes our sense of what we are. We can't see what's chirping away there, or who's making it, but the sound fills our consciousness totally. And there's no knowledge of what that is. We don't ask, who is it? What is it? Who am I? Where am I going? We're just pure listening. That's pure awareness. And then suddenly, oh, where am I? Right. People are bumping into you and get out of the way. Sorry. We forget ourselves. And you could say that society is critical of that. But there is something about an experience of pure awareness, which is no longer caught up either in the object or in a self that is aware. So we move into a dimension which is different, but it's very present. There's no past, no future, it's just this. It's just what it is. One moment. It's not even a moment, an instant of presence. After all, when we're in that kind of a state, everything is okay. There's nothing to get, there's nothing to remember. No information can really give us that experience. And we can't experience that for anyone else. But when two people individually experience that, then you could say, did you experience something? Yeah. But you can't describe it. You can't tell them what it was like. But if they stop and listen to the bird and hear it in that same way, but even then, you could say it's light, or you could call it heat or fire or anything you want. But it's different for everyone. But it's the same absence of a self. There's an emptying out. It's the death of the world. The world stops, the mind stops. You know, the mind is like a river that never, it's just going to keep creating ideas. But it can also be empty. Like that, and allow that kind of experience. So that's just pure awareness. And when the mind experiences that, it can become awakened. Maybe silence is the best thing. Well, what happens when we're quiet? You know, when the mind is silent, sustaining it is the practice. It's hard, it is hard to sustain that. And if we try too hard, it's like crushing a flower. You like it so much, you end up crushing it. You cannot make this thing come. We just have to get out of the way. I'm sure you've heard this many times. If we move out of the way, well, I'm trying to move out of the way, but it ain't happening. What do I do? Don't do anything. The more we try doing and getting, there's a sense of me in it. I want that. But the more we want, the farther we are away from anything, because it's coming from a striving. But the letting go and the letting be is very helpful. If we can do that without expectation. Because the body and the posture, everything can be just right. But there's still an expectation. If I just sit like this, and if I breathe this many times, and we have memories of having some experience, so we want that. We want what we had, and we're still measuring up to it. But no one hears that. We don't realize, oh, if only I could get that. We've got an idea in the mind of what we want, and we're trying to live up to that idea. And when the meditation finishes and that idea didn't repeat, where it's like, oh, my practice is no good anymore. You know, again, the judgment, the self-evaluation takes over the mind. And we're back in samsara. Me, mine, my mind. It's not my mind, it's just awareness. And can we take everything out of the way of simple, pure, present awareness so that there's no future? We're not hoping that we sit to get something. We just want to be present for this moment and the next moment and continue in that way without trying to line it up a certain way. Because there it is, we're going to lose the balance. Working with the rocks in the garden, what I try to do is pick up a rock that I like and put it on another rock that I like and get them to talk to each other. So I'll place the rock on the other rock and see, will it hold it? And usually it'll roll right off. But in some cases, you can make one rock balance on the other. But you have to keep turning it, turning it, turning it. No, rolls off. Okay, turning it, rolls off. Turning it, turning it. And then at a certain point, the rocks actually talk to each other. You let go, and it's balanced. And then you get excited, it falls down. So you try again. And then some of the rocks, they balance and some don't. I don't try to predict, I just keep doing it. And then I walk away and I see little rock towers. And I don't know why they stay together, but they do. So I contemplated this. It's such a good practice because I'm trying not to have an expectation of the rocks. And at a certain point, when I let go and the rock is ready, it will just sit there. And I've tried to compare that to what I'm doing in the heart. If I let go, then the conditions, whatever they are, will balance. But the more I'm trying to manipulate and reformulate them so that they balance, you know, I can mess it up. Because the ego is cumbersome and it has an agenda. And the agenda can spoil the spontaneity of conditions to work together and bring to us what we need. Even if we didn't know we needed it, but that's a kind of karma. The karmic unfolding is to sit without knowing what's going to happen and not try to make it happen. Because for sure, if we try to make it happen, it won't. Whatever it is, it won't happen. But if we take this I, me, and my experience, if we take all that out of the present moment awareness, then conditions may fall away and the balancing within may just arise. And when it arises, we're sitting bearing witness to the present moment long enough for those conditions to ripen. And when there's a readiness, they will. It's just pure knowing. There's nothing quite like being in the moment and letting go and allowing whatever is ripe within us to just appear or arise or disappear. It's neither appear nor disappear. It's just there. And one suddenly falls into awareness of what is already there. It hasn't gone anywhere. It never was, but it just is. It never will be. It never was. It's just an isness. And we cannot make that. There's no way that we can organize conditions into that. But if we sustain pure awareness moment by moment, we practice emptying consciousness and enabling consciousness to be what it is without interfering. And then the isness of that becomes okay. I don't have to be anything for anyone, but just be aware. So when awareness becomes very pure of this or that, it can land on isness. We can't organize that. We can just prepare the landing strip and wait for the universe to collapse into it or expand into it, whatever you want to call it. So the sun, I love the comparison of the sun, even though the sun is it an object? It's fire. It's an element. It's light. How do we talk about that? But the fact that the sun shines on everyone, even the people we don't like. Why is there anyone that we don't like? Because we want to be like the sun, but we're not like the sun yet. So if the light from within us shines, that's love. And whoever walks into the room, it doesn't matter. That doesn't go out. That's such a difficult one. If someone walks in, that person is too short, too tall, too fat, too skinny, too white, too dark, too old, too young. The mind is just full of opinions. We have an opinion about everything, even about the way we breathe. I breathe too short, I breathe too long, I breathe too loud, I breathe too soft, I don't get enough air, I get too much air. This is the I. The self is jumping. You're in robes. The self, my robe is too light. It's too old. It's torn. It doesn't fit properly. I can't roll it anymore. I can't get it over my shoulder. It falls down all the time. Opinions. And there's the old saying, I heard it ages ago. It's like open onions. It makes you want to cry. Because it won't stop. You cut an onion open and you just cry. You can't stop. It's very hard to keep from crying when the onion is cut. But the thing is that when the mind stops, even for a moment, when it really stops and there's a peek, a glimpse of the water at the bottom of the well, you feel so happy. But it's so far away, it doesn't matter. Water. You hit water. You hit gold. You hit light. Love came through. Whatever you want to call it. So there's such a happiness there. So it's the same thing. When the onion is cut, you cry. When the happiness cuts, you cry. Because it's the joy, and that will never go away. Whenever you remember that, you cry. It's, oh, and that's faith in the path. So then you keep going because there can be more moments like that, and eventually you can string the moments together. They might be days apart, weeks apart, years apart. But long ago, there was a moment like that, and we're still riding on it. We still know I can do that, I, but that can arise. This is like an archaeological dig. You just keep throwing out all the thoughts that come or the opinions that come. Because the mind, it's like a thought-producing machine. Even if we don't want thoughts, they might come up. But you no longer follow them. You just recycle them. There's stuff that we find in the forest that other people have thrown away, people that lived there before us. And it's amazing what we find. It's incredible what can survive the forces of nature. Old pieces of metal, old farm equipment. Some of it is so beautiful because 100 years ago they made their own machinery by hand. It's hand-hewn. And so I've taken some of these things, painted them or not, and put them in the garden with the rocks. And they're just beautiful. But they're just ornaments. So we might decorate the mind with beautiful sights. We live in a forest. There's so much beauty there. But we have to remember that beauty is not in and of itself freedom from beauty, from wanting beauty, from wanting love, because it's not unconditional love. But that which we truly want is unconditional love. It doesn't depend on us recognizing it. It is always present. The sense of a self, mind cannot know this, really. It's when the mind stops fabricating the self, then that emptiness is the knowing of what needs to be known. It's pure consciousness. No one can take that away. No one can add to it. And that's what we are. All of us are truly that. We all have that within us. Humans can know it. Animals manifest it, but may not develop awareness of it. But they can receive it, for sure. And they participate in it. And some of them are very fussy. They want that all the time in the form of nuts or goodies that we put out. So the pure compassion. When a child meets another child, it doesn't know what country they're from, what sex they are, how old they are, what race they are. None of it matters. They're just, it's a baby. Let's play. That's my toy. They might get a little bit like that, but because no wisdom. But the purity of just being able to roll and laugh and have fun together. You can't imitate that. Especially in the monastery, we all get mixed together. But if we weren't trained like this, we would probably never live together. Look at this disparate group. Different age groups, different towns, different professions, different lives, different minds. But we sit together in the silence. So what do we all share that is so profound? It doesn't matter what we do in the rest of our life, but what we share in this silence is so profound. And it frees us from the prison of the world. We cannot come to this point unless we keep precepts. There must be virtuous conduct, and virtue leads us to love. So the greater the virtue, the more we can know that isness, that godness. And the fruition of virtue arises through mental purification, the purification of our consciousness. Pure consciousness is not accessible by people who don't live a pure life. It may be there, but it cannot be known because there's interference. It's like with computers. You need the password to get in. Well, the password to awakening is pure love, unconditional love. But it doesn't come as a word. It's the silence. It's wordless, timeless, apparent here and now. Everyone can only know that here and now, not tomorrow. I'll meet you at the carrot tomorrow at 1 o'clock and we'll see pure consciousness. We just can't do that because it can't exist in time and it's not a memory. It can only arise in this moment. And sustaining it is when that kind of purification of the heart, it's not the mental formations, it's just knowing consciousness purification, awareness purification. Not liking and disliking, not choosing, but a choiceless awareness. An awareness that is aware of itself. And it stops with that. There's no one aware. That quality, if we sustain that, then we can live in an awakened state. But then one would still feel feelings that might be unpleasant, but they don't cause suffering. The mental arrow cannot arise anymore. The body is still feeling, so when there's too much heat, it will withdraw. And there might even be tears, but they're not the tears of grief. They might be tears of joy. Just at present moment awareness rather than, I love that ice cream. Because we're so caught up, we're in jail. We are not what we know. So the state of pure awakening is completely fulfilled in itself. There's no refusal of any experience. There's no fear. Imagine living in a state of no fear. We're just so afraid, afraid of so much. To live without fear. So, this is the Buddha's teaching that we can realize a state of no fear. But even beyond that, we can realize a state of complete awareness, unperturbed by any condition, and not even a self that is aware. That does no longer arise. There's no egoic condition. There's a sense of complete unity. Very rare on this earth. So that's why we pay homage to the Buddha, teaching us how to be a witness and not even be anything, because that's an identity. Well, I'm the witness. No, we go in circles with that. But just awareness itself, to witness without being a witness.